Jesus is all powerful. And I serve an all powerful, mighty, all knowing God. And He didn't call us to live a life of comfortableness. He's come to make our life exciting, to make it dangerous, to make it awesome. In fact, the Bible even says, "The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, to destroy." Jesus says, "I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." And stepping out by faith is living the abundant life. It's stepping outside of your comfort zone. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's entitled, "How to Walk on Water, Living Beyond Your Ability." Notice with me in Matthew chapter 14, if you would. Of course, we've been in this text. We're going to be in this text the entire sermon series entitled Step Out. But I want you to notice, I'm going to read the entire story again, starting in verse number 22. But I want you to focus in on verse 29. Notice what it says in verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the middle of the night, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them." What was he doing? He was walking on the sea. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit.' And they cried out for fear," which is the opposite of faith. "But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Hey, be of good cheer. It's me, it's I. Be not afraid.' Because perfect love, the presence of Jesus, is what casts out our fear." That's how we have the ability to do the impossible in our life. Then he goes on to say, "And Peter answered and said to him, 'Lord, if that's you, call me.'" What we talked about last week, "call me. Bid me to come unto thee under the water." Look at verse 29. "And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship," let's say the next five words together, "he walked on the water." Let's say it together again. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Lord, I pray you'd help us today as we talk about walking on the water. I pray that you would fill us with your spirit. You'd fill us with your wisdom and direction. I pray that this message would be a huge encouragement to many. And Lord, most of all, I pray that somebody in this room that doesn't know you as Lord and as their Savior, I pray that they would accept you today. And I pray that you would do what only you could do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The exciting part of living the Christian life is stepping out by faith. Amen. I remember when I was going to ask Shonda to marry me. And that's a big step of faith. Now, I knew she would say yes because she's the one who picked out her ring and was asking me when I'm going to ask her, you know, and so I knew she'd say yes, but for some reason I was so nervous to ask her still. I'll never forget it. But I think I was more nervous asking her father if I could marry his daughter. It was his only daughter, and he was the warden of a prison, a high security prison in Lancaster, California, and he's a bodybuilder. That didn't help. And I was a poor college student. And I took him out to the best place I knew a man would like, his Outback Steakhouse. And I was living on a college budget. So I don't know how the credit card worked that day, but it did. Some money came out. I don't know how. I said, "Order what you want." I think I got chili soup that day. I don't know. And I remember him sitting across from me, and I said, "Mike, you know, I just want to ask you a question." And I said, "Can I marry Shonda? Can I marry your daughter?" And his first question after I said that was, "Do you know how much that costs?" Now, I know why he asked it. He wanted to make sure I could take care of her, okay? And I said, "No," because I didn't know how much it costs. I didn't know anything. And by the way, I'm still paying for it right now. And she's worth every penny. When I got married December 10th, 2004... I was stepping out by faith. I didn't know all the details. You know, you're never really ready for marriage, right? How many of you guys were ever ready to have kids? Like, "Hey, we're ready." No, you just had them, right? And you stepping out by faith opened up a world to you that you would have never known unless you stepped out by faith. And that's what stepping out by faith is all about. It's not knowing every detail, and you don't have to know every detail. You just have to know the one who does. The stepping out by faith is exciting because you're not stepping out alone. You're stepping out with the one who loves you and saved you and knows every detail about it. Once you step out, you set in motion a whole world of experiences. And if you don't step out, you miss out on them. I'm glad I stepped out and came to Michigan. Wow! Man, I'm glad I stepped out and got married. Man, I'm glad I stepped out and started giving. Man, I'm glad I stepped out and had children and met you. And I'm glad we stepped out and bought this building. It just set in motion a whole world of experiences we would have never had unless we stepped out. And that's what I want to encourage you about today. Where in your life are you stepping out? You're reaching beyond your ability in some way, some fashion, some form. Because we're not called to just live this life of comfortableness, of ease. We're called to step out. We're not called to sit on the boat like boat potatoes. We're called to step out of the boat and live beyond ourselves. Because that's the God I serve. Amen. So in what ways are you stepping out by faith? I want you to think about that right now. In what ways right now are you stepping out and trusting God? That's beyond your comfort level. That's beyond your comfort zone. God gives us three life-changing truths about walking on water. Found right here in our text. Now, some of you are probably thinking, Pastor, last week you preached, we never really went back to the scripture. I'm going to give a lot of stories from the Bible. I want you to understand something. I attempt and try my hardest to preach expositionally, and I want you to know that these messages come straight from the Word of God. This is a little different if you're thinking we're never going back to the Bible, because we're talking about a story over 8 weeks of the same. So we're going more in depth than maybe one message would. Is everybody with me on that? So don't think I'm making light of the Bible. I'm not. What I'm about to say comes straight from this text, and I believe God wrote these stories for our learning, and I want you to understand, what does it mean to walk on the water? Well, first of all, you have to understand we have to get excited. Boy, I'll tell you what, the Christian life is exciting. It really is. It's incredible. It's awesome. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be doing this. I promise you that. And getting on the boat and Peter walking on the water is the climax of this story. It's the peak of the story. It's the most important part of the story. It's the most exciting, is it not? I mean, you think about it, we're all too familiar with the storm. We're very familiar with the fears and the failures. At the beginning of the story, we saw they're afraid, right? Boy, and their boat was being tossed to and fro. How many guys can identify with that? And after Peter was walking on water, he took his eyes off the Lord and saw the waves, and he sank and cried out in fear. How many guys are familiar with that? How many guys have ever taken your eyes off God and says, man, I'm sinking? And I'll tell you, we're familiar with all of that. But I would say that there's many of us who are not too familiar with the most exciting part, walking on the water in the midst of it all. That's the peak, that's the climax of the story, is him walking on the water. Your life can be exciting, and it's doing the impossible in the midst of the chaos. Is everybody with me? I find it interesting that when Jesus saw Peter, Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, that Peter didn't ask the Lord to calm the storm. Peter didn't ask, Lord, can you make this whole thing stop? You know what Peter asked? Lord, if that's you, bid me to come unto thee, unto the water. What was he asking? Lord, I want to be close to you. I don't need the waves to calm down. I don't need the boat to stop rocking. Lord, I just want to be close to you. And that's the most exciting part of the Christian life, is not asking God to calm down the storm. It's asking God to be close to him in the midst of the storm. And that's where the miracle begins. Amen. It begins when you have that annoying coworker, and you're not asking the Lord to make them go away. You're asking the Lord, Lord, give me patience in the middle of it. It's not asking the Lord, Lord, give me more money. Lord, give me in the midst of not making as much as I should or want to. Lord, give me contentment in the midst of this storm. And that contentment is given when you get close to Him. That's the most exciting part of the Christian life. It's not your problems going away. It's getting close to Him. It's the presence of God in your life. That's what it's all about. And I'll tell you what, we're all too familiar with the chaos, are we not? All of us, we're all crazy busy. We got a lot going on. And in the midst of that, we need to ask like Peter did, Lord, if that's You, I want to come to You. I want to do the impossible in the midst of this all. Lord, I want a peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, I want a comfort that only You can give, even though the storm is still raging. Lord, I want You to restore this relationship that only You can. Lord, do what only You can do in this situation. And He'll do it. And that's the miracle. That's the most exciting part of the Christian life, is not the storm going away. It's the presence of God in the midst of it all. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. I've seen that. I've seen it. I've seen people on their deathbed. They just had a joy, a peace. They weren't asking to live longer. They're just asking, Lord, give me Your presence. And they got it. That's the most exciting part of the Christian life. How many of you guys understand problems will come, problems will go, problems will always be here? But Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me ask you this. Why did Jesus say, get happy? Why did He say that? He said, because I'm here. It's me. Be of good cheer. I'm here. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be downtrodden. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to live a life of anxiety. Jesus said, I'm here. And He's still here today, right now. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you do, you don't need to ask for everything to go away. You just need to ask for the presence of God in your life right now. And that's when you begin to walk on water. And walking on water is the most exciting part of the Christian life. I'll tell you what. That's the best part of the story. You know, every prayer request, it's like, we got this problem, that problem, I understand that. Maybe we should just start asking God, Lord, just I want to be close to You. When do we ask Him for that? Maybe He brought the problem into your life so that you could finally ask, Lord, I want to be close to You. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe the Lord brings problems into our life because we soon forget Him. And God's like, I got to bring a problem or else You'll forget about Me. So here it is. And by the way, when you get close to Him and you actually experience God in that way, it's the most thrilling, most exciting part of the Christian life. So get excited. Can I get an amen? Get excited. Number two, get your feet wet. You have to get, if you want to walk on water, you got to get your feet wet. Most of us love hearing messages about the power of God, that God's, you know, He's the rock. God is the fortress. He's the strong tower. He's the Prince of Peace. Man, God, He's the mighty God. And we love hearing messages about that. Yes, He's that, He's that, He's that. And I love reading stories in the New Testament about the power of God contrasting with the disciples' weaknesses. You know, the disciples had fear, they had doubt, and the power and wisdom of God contrasted. They like clashed together. I love reading those stories because I can identify with that. Can you? Because I have doubts and I have fears and I have all those things that the disciples had. I'm glad He just picked 12 ordinary men, not extraordinary men. But those ordinary men did extraordinary things because they have an extraordinary God. So information about God is not enough to create a courageous Christian. We can learn all about His power. We can learn all about Him being the Prince of Peace. But all of that means nothing if it's just information. Action is required. In other words, you have to get your feet wet. You have to let go of the boat. You have to step out in some way, some form, some fashion. Do you remember when Moses died? Remember that, Chuck? You were there. I'm just kidding. He died, and the children of Israel, who's going to take care of us now? It's like they forgot about the Lord, you know? It's like that Moses was their leader. And Joshua became their leader, right? And Joshua led the children of Israel out of the wilderness, but they had to take a step, didn't they? They got to the River Jordan, and what was that step they needed to take? The high priest had to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they had to actually what? Get their feet wet. They had to step out into the river and make the first action step. And then what did God do? He parted the water. They were able to go across dry land, but they still had to take a step of faith in some sort of way. I like what James said in James 2, verse number 17. He says, even so faith, we're talking about stepping out. Faith is an action. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, many people read that and say, what, is this a works-based salvation? No, it's an evidence-based salvation. You can say you have faith, but notice what James says. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And you know what James says? I'll show thee my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. In other words, you could say, I have faith in God. Well, where? Because faith isn't faith until it's translated into action. You can say, I'm going to heaven. When did you believe? When did you actually believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and turn from your sin? Not that you became perfect, but that your attitude towards sin changed. That instead of running to sin, I'm running from the sin and to Christ. When did that happen? You can say, I have faith in Jesus. Well, what step of faith are you taking to trust Him? Because faith, saying I believe without works is dead. Faith is not believing God can. It's acting on the belief that He will. That's what faith is. It's doing something. It's stepping out in some form or fashion. This is a great question to ask yourself. What am I doing today that I could not without the power of God? What am I doing that I could not do apart from the power of God? What am I doing right now that I could not do apart from the power of God? What step of faith? And it's not the absence of doubt. It's having a little bit more faith than you do doubt. And we're going to talk about that in my third point. But what step are you taking right now that you could not take apart from the power of God? I'll tell you, when I got married, I needed the power of God in every day of my life. Not because it's hard to be married to Shauna, it's because I didn't know what to do. I was like, what's a husband do now? You know, I want to be the best. And I was ignorant, and I still am at times. And whether it's times that I didn't treat her as well as I should, and I put a football game above her, and maybe that was a big mistake, you know. That was a three-hour conversation. And I need the Lord. What step are you taking right now? Yesterday we had donuts indoors. Man, we had dozens of people gathering here. We taught a lesson. They just went out by faith, not knowing what was going to happen. People could slam their door in their face or whatever. But they just stepped out and said, Lord, you do something. That's beyond me. That's what I love about this story. When I step out and I give generously, I discover that God can really take care of me. I got to get my feet wet, in other words. I could say, God, I believe you could take care of me, but what step of faith are you taking to prove it? In fact, this is the only time where the Bible even says, prove me now herewith that I might pour you out a blessing. That you might not have room enough to receive it. It's so funny. Every year we have new Christians that come and they step out by faith, by giving. In fact, many of you filled out these step out cards. And a good portion of them was, I'm going to trust God with my tithe. I'm going to trust God with my finances. And every single time, there's not been a time where I've never saw God bless that person in incredible ways. But you'll never experience the great joy of God taking care of me unless you step out and say, God, I'm going to give back to you what you've given to me. When I step out and give generously, that's what God does. If I step out and confess my sin to another person, I discover that God truly does honor truth-telling. There's some of you, you know you've done wrong to somebody, but you just aren't man enough or holy enough to actually admit it to that person. And you miss out on the great joy of truth-telling or a restored relationship. I had somebody who wrote me a letter and everything in it was false. A lot of assumptions there. Okay? And I was like, well, you know, it's kind of sad to see that broken relationship. Over time, they realized that they were wrong, and the person who was related to them confronted them about it and says, why don't you write Pastor back? He says, that's probably a good idea, and he never did. And I often wondered, man, that guy just missed out on the restoration. I don't know if he was fearful that I wouldn't accept him, because I would have. It would have been awesome just have that restored. You know, I didn't know that happened until he passed away. And there's some of you know you've done wrong to somebody. And if you step out by faith and actually admit that to that person, I was wrong and I'm so sorry, and swallow your pride, you are going to experience that God honors that. God honors truth-telling. Can I get an amen to that? When I step out and join a ministry, I can then finally experience the joy of being used by God. But you'll never know that. You'll never know that unless you step out and actually do something. Park some cars, welcome people at the church, serve in the nursery. Serve in the nursery. It's a great place to serve. Amen? When I step out and share my faith, I experience the great exhilaration of leading a soul to Christ. There's nothing more exciting than that in the Christian life, than leading somebody to the truth that Jesus saved you and can wash away your sin by His blood. There's nothing more exciting than that. But you'll never experience that. The transforming power of God, you'll never experience that transformation until you take your step of faith. God doesn't do the miracle. There's no water walking until you step out. You have to step out. God generally helps people's faith grow by asking them to take the first step. I think of Moses. Remember Moses? He was scared to death to lead the people out of Israel. And God did perform a few miracles. He says, take your hand, put it in your bosom, and he pulled it out. And his hand was like leprous. He had a leprous hand. He put it back and he pulled it out, and it was like new. Another miracle that he did, he says, what's in your hand? And Moses said, that's a rod. And he says, cast it down on the ground. And when he did, it turned into a snake. Now, in ancient Egypt, snakes were considered to be dangerous and poisonous. How many of you guys would agree it's still the same today? But God asked Moses to do something super crazy. And it was a huge step of faith. He asked him to pick up the snake, but not by the back of the head, where you would pick up a poisonous snake. He asked him to pick it up by the tail. Now, could you imagine that? What's going to happen if you pick up a snake by the tail? It's going to come back and bite you. And Moses, man, he was scared to death. He grabs the snake by the tail and it turns back into a rod. You have to take a step of faith. There is a step that needs to be taken. Naaman's leprosy wasn't healed until he dipped in the water 7 times. Gideon had to decrease the size of his army from 32,000 to 300 before he can defeat the Midianites. See, when I say yes and I step out, we don't know all the implications. We don't know. And when I step out and have kids, I don't know all the details about it, but I know this is what God is calling us to do. I'll never forget when we had 2 kids, everybody would ask us, are you going to have any more kids? And my wife and I would be like, no, no more kids. And God really pricked my heart, because I knew that when I got into my 50s or 60s, that I would regret not having another child. And I knew that if I had gotten to my 50s and 60s, I would never regret having a third one. So that's how I knew that God wanted us to have it. It took work to convince my wife. And because she was the one bearing the child, she does most of the work. But I knew this was God's will. And I'll never forget Shonda. She was reading a book. And she was convicted as well. And she says, I think we should have a kid. I said, me too. And now we got Pippazilla. And she's amazing. We didn't know all the implications. We didn't know all the details. I just knew that's God's will. We stepped out. Man, I'm glad we did. Boy, what a beautiful life she is. I'm telling you. You step out and get married. You step out and pursue that job. Or you step out and join that church. You don't know all the details. You don't know all the implications. And there may be some fears that are causing you to not step out and do that. But I'd ask you to just say, Lord, would you? I just want your presence in the midst of this decision that I'm going to make. And that's the most exciting part of the Christian life. It's not joining the church. It's not getting married. It's the presence of God in the midst of all that. Knowing you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Be of good cheer. Why? I'm here. I'm with you through it all. Every valley you go through and every mountaintop, I'm with you. You're okay. When we say yes, we set in motion an adventure that will change us forever. So get excited. Get your feet wet. By the way, when you get excited about the fact that the storm's not going away, but that you have the presence of God who's going to give you something greater than the storm going away. His presence, His power, His wisdom. And number three, this is the best part of the message. Number three, get rid of doubt. Get rid of your doubt. You say, now, Pastor, I would like to do that. I'd like to get rid of my doubt. Now, let me ask you a question. Is faith the absence of doubt? In fact, you can't say you have faith unless there is some doubt. Right? Every time you take a step of faith, there's in the back of your mind, in your heart, there's some doubt there. There's like, this might not work. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he's like, I could go right under the water. The waves could crash over my head. There was no guarantee, right? There's no guarantee. So is faith the absence of doubt? Do you remember the three Hebrew children who stood before Nebuchadnezzar? And Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't bow down to my God, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked at Nebuchadnezzar and they said, we will not bow down to your idol, and the Lord will deliver us. And you know what the next words were? And if not. Do you remember when the guy came to Jesus and his son was dying and Jesus said, if you have faith, your son can be saved. And he says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's having a little bit more faith than you do doubt. It's not the great amount of faith that you have. It's the little bit that you have in the right person. You guys with me? Okay, let's pretend this. Let's pretend I take you to Yosemite and we go see Old Faithful. Do you know who Old Faithful is? It's a big fountain. It's faithful. Comes up every, I don't know, hour or so. Okay? It's faithful. That's the only thing. This geyser just shoots up faithful. That's why it's called Old Faithful. What if you said to me, I don't believe that Old Faithful is faithful. What would your advice be? Would you say to that person, you need to have more faith? Or would you say you just need to get to know Old Faithful a little bit more? You need to go stand next to Old Faithful and see that he's faithful. When somebody says, well, I just don't know if I believe in God, or I don't know if I can have faith in God, would you tell them you just need to have a little bit more faith? Or would you say you just need to get as close to God as you can and see that he is faithful? You need to get to know God more. And the more you know God, and the more you're around God, and the more you're surrounded by God's people, your faith grows. The more you're in His Word, your faith grows. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You find out that He is faithful, that He is true, that He is just, that He is awesome. And you don't need to have more faith. You just need to get close to the one who will give you that faith. You realize that He is faithful, that He is good. He's faithful. Step out by obeying Him. Just know God better. You guys with me? Whatever area it is that you're scared of stepping out in, here's my answer to you. Get to know God better. And the more you know God, the easier it is to take that step. It's not about having more faith. It's about getting close like Peter wanted to. I want to be close to you, Lord. I want to be close to you. And the closer he was to God, the more faith he had.
Back in 1988, right before the Winter Olympics. Winter Olympics are coming up, man. Don't you like that? I love that. I love the Olympics. I love the competitions. And before the 1988 Winter Olympics, they showed on television, they showed some blind skiers on the slopes. And it was a story that they did about blind skiers who had sightseers show them and tell them, yell to them, when to go left and when to go right. And on the easy slopes, they blind skiers perfected the left and the right turns. Until finally, these blind skiers, after they had mastered the flats, were taken to the slalom slopes, where their sighted partners skied beside them, shouting, left, right, left, right. And as they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and to cross the finish line, depending solely on the sighted skier's word. If they didn't obey the word, it would have been complete catastrophe. But they negotiated through the course because somebody told them when to go left and when to go right. And life, it's a downward slope that leads to destruction. You guys with me? And if you're not listening to the one who's sighted in all matters of life, it'll only lead to your catastrophe. Jesus, who knows everything, the Word, which is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, tells us when to go left, when to go right. And I'm not talking politically. Who cares about that? All that matters is what God says. When the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life says, step out, you obey, and that leads to the greatest, awesome, most exciting life. And when you disobey God, when He says, you hear Him say left, He says right, and you disobey, it only leads to your destruction. It leads to catastrophe in your marriage and with your kids and in your emotions and your mind. That's why it's so important to obey the Lord, because He's looking out for you. He's looking at me. He doesn't want you to run into a tree. He doesn't want you to fall flat on your face. He wants you to simply obey His voice. The Christian life is exciting. How many of you guys would agree with that? And it's not because your problems go away. It's because God's presence is in the midst of all those problems. And He gives you something greater, His presence. But you're never going to experience that unless you get your feet wet, unless you step out in some way and then watch God do the miracle. And you have to get rid of your doubt. And the way you get rid of your doubt is listening to God. See, stepping out is not a matter of knowing every detail. It's trusting the one who does. It's listening to the one who does. So, Pastor, what am I going to do this week with this message? I want to step out. There's an area in my life I know I need to step out and trust God. What do I do? Number one, find the thrill of living for God. Now, how many guys would say the 11 on the boat, they missed out? I find it, they were so afraid, but they didn't want to be close to God at that moment. When you're going through a storm, the best advice I can give you is simply get close to Jesus. There's no 12-step program that even comes close to the power of getting close to Jesus. There's nothing in this world that will answer your deepest need and fear better than the closeness that you would have with Jesus. So how do I get close to Jesus? His word, prayer, get close to Him. Ask Him, Lord, what do I need to do to get close to You? He'll tell you. Step out and find that that living for God is a thrill. Number two, get your feet wet. You got to get your feet wet. Is everybody with me? Okay. In what way this week are you going to step out? Maybe it's just opening your Bible. Maybe you just need to open your Bible every day this week. I mean, don't plan on stepping out in some grand way if you're not going to do the obvious will of God's, the obvious will that God has for you. Can I get amen to that? I mean, like the basics of the Christian life? Get to know God more. Open his word and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to get close to you. I want to know your attributes and your character and who you are in my life. I want to know you. Maybe you need to step out and maybe give. Maybe you need to step out and witness. So maybe you need to step out and confess your sin to somebody or to God. And when I say confessing sin, I don't say, Lord, I've sinned, please forgive me. I say, Lord, I'm going to be specific about what I did and say that you are right and I'm wrong. That's what confession really means. Maybe you step out in that way and then just realize the thrill of having that burden lifted off your shoulders and you start living for God and start enjoying your Christian life now. Because what's stealing the joy of your life is sin. You guys with me? It's sin. Some of you guys are addicted to porn. Some of you are addicted to fear. Some of you are you're addicted to a sin that you know is against God. And the greatest step you could take this morning is just to step out and say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong and I want to stop this because it's ripping the joy out of my life. Lord, help me. Maybe it's materialism. I don't know. There's a lot of things out there. How many of you guys would agree with that? I can just sit here and name them all. I don't know what it is. Maybe you need to step out today and confess that. Maybe you need to step out and confess that you're not saved. You've been religious, but you don't have a relationship with the Lord. Get your feet wet. Do something this week that's beyond you. And number three, get close to God. Get close to God. That could be two things. That could be number one, asking the Lord not to take away your problems, but Lord, would you just give me a peace that passeth all understanding? I want to be close to you this week. Just get close to God. The greatest part of the Christian life is being close to Him. There is a fundamental difference between asking God for something and getting more of God. There's more to the Christian life than just getting stuff from God. It's getting more of God. That's what the Christian life is mostly about, is more of God. I mean, good night, we get to heaven, we got a mansion waiting for us. What else do we need? The key to having it all is realizing you already have it. You don't need any more. You don't need any more. You already have it. There's nothing else you need. Unless you're not saved. If you're not saved, that's how you get close to God. You have to ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. I did that September 1st, 2001. Greatest decision I ever made in my life. Second greatest decision was getting married to Shonda. You got to get saved. You will never be close to God unless you're saved. The Bible says if you're not saved, you're His enemy. That's what it says. You're the enemy of God. The devil's your father. That's what it says. I'm glad when I got saved at 21, I became His child. I'm His son. And I can never lose that. Man, I'm glad I can cry out, Abba, Father, Papa, you're mine, and come to His throne boldly and ask whatever I want. Because He's my God. He's my Father. He's my Savior. He could be yours as well. Maybe you need to make those decisions. Find the thrill of it, living for God. Get your feet wet, get close to God. Lord, I pray you'd help us today to see those needs. Lord, I pray that we would enjoy the Christian life. That it's a thrill, not because our problems go away, but because your presence is there. Lord, there's great joy in your presence. And Lord, I pray that we would step out by faith in some way. We get our feet wet this week. And Lord, I pray that we'd get close to you. The most important thing, I pray somebody here doesn't know you as their Savior. I pray they get saved.